I would like to introduce the 22nd head coach at Michigan Tech, Joe Schott.
I am a Uper.
In front there for Lesperance. Backhand to the front. Here's a shot on the bar! Oh, Gillies with the goal!
I love UP.
Gould got it going on now. Big time speed coming in. Goes wide. Centers it in front. Shot! Scores! What a play by Gavin Gould!
And my heart is here.
To the blue line. Held in. The penalty is over. Shoot!
Go Huskies.
This is the Joe Schott Hour on the voice of the Huskies, Mix 93 WKMJ. Brought to you by Morty's Gas Station, Dr. Daniel Reminga of the Northern Foot Care Center in Houghton, the Kaliva Cafe, Kuna Automotive, Coca-Cola of Hancock, Bucko's Party Store, The Wickley Agency, Superior Smiles, the Michigan Tech Campus Bookstore and University Images, Peterlin Distributing, Lake Accounting and America Group Retirement Strategy Centers, and the Turbo Agency. And now with the head coach of the Michigan Tech Hockey Huskies, Joe Schott, here is your host, Dirk Hembroff.
It's the Joe Schott Hour here on Mix 93 WKMJ. 60 minutes of Michigan Tech hockey talk coming off a winter carnival weekend. The Huskies losing 4-2 to Bemidji State on Friday night and coming back and winning 5-1 on Saturday night. They win the total goal series 7-5. Devin Carroll named the tournament MVP for winter carnival. They get the McGinnis Cup and Michigan Tech for the sixth straight season now winning their Winter Carnival Tournament at the John McGinnis Student Ice Arena. Questions can be sent in by emailing us, dj@themix93.com. That's dj@themix93.com. Coach will answer those questions coming up in a little bit. And, Coach, yeah, it was a tough game on Friday night. Not what you guys were hoping for. I know you were very dissatisfied with the way the team played, but a great game on Saturday night to win it all.
No, I'm not blowing smoke when I say that I feel that this community is so invested in this hockey team and in this hockey program forever, for as long as I've known anything about Michigan Tech, which goes back to my youth when everybody knew Michigan Tech was the program in the country when I was growing up. When hockey became important to me as a young boy, Michigan Tech was the program winning the national titles in the early 70s and things. So and there was always the tie between myself growing up in Sault Ste. Marie, Sioux Tech. Like, there was a pride factor in Michigan Tech being like, there was still a feeling of that community being part of Michigan Tech as well, because Lake Superior was not a Division I program at that time. And then when when Lake State did become a Division I program and joined the CCHA, the new form of the CCHA, Michigan Tech was always so great to play Lake Superior and give them, you know, they were the best in the country, but they would always take care of their sibling, you know what I mean? So there was a lot of pride in we grew up knowing Michigan Tech, and let alone Lou Angotti and Tony Esposito and those guys that we looked up to that were now in the NHL, being from our community, from our area, holding summer hockey schools and things like that. So, I share things because I feel that the people here are that invested. I could just blow smoke and just say things. But like with you, we sat down and did video. I showed you, you know, a lot of what we showed the guys, and what we were disappointed in was, not only our tactics, our systems. The guys worked hard, but, it was so individualistic, we just didn't, you know, we didn't play cohesively as a unit at all. Five guys did not have the presence of seven. You know, we didn't have that synergy. We had, it was a lot of guys standing alone, trying hard, but standing alone. And, it's hard to do battle standing alone.
Well, it was a tough game on Friday night. Let's hear some of the clips. We got on the board early, though. 53 seconds in.
Ronnie Badun got a piece of that one. Sent it wide. The Huskies will just bounce it out the center ice. Nice play there to Lesperance. Lesperance has Lucchini with a quick shot. Scores! Jake Lucchini with a goal! Top shelf over the blocker of Bitzer on a great feed by Joel Lesperance. Michigan Tech 53 seconds into the game. Lead 1-0.
I just had a feeling as soon as Lesperance got that puck that, you know, he knew obviously Lucchini was there and that he was going to swing that over, and certainly he did. And Luch is so good at pulling that puck from the backhand to the forehand and getting and releasing so quickly.
Yeah, he's good at that. And what I'm happy about with Joel is really learning how to distribute the puck, because he draws such attention. that when he'll draw double coverage because he's a big, strong man, and guys have been playing against him now for 4 years, a lot of guys. But he found Luch, and Luch made no mistake. He surprised Bitzer with that shot, and it was a great goal for us to get started.
Huskies got up 1-0 at the time. That was at the 53-second mark. Les Brunson Gould get the assist. Then it was three straight from Bowling Green.
Over to the far side and sent back down now inside the Michigan Tech right wing corner. Loose puck at the side of the net. Watch out! Open net there, and they score! Oh, the Huskies just could not find the puck, and they bury it. As Baydoun was trying to get back in position after attempting to make the other save. And a nice shot there. Kind of an awkward angle by Jordan Heller. And he'll score the tying goal. Get right back to action here with 9:21 left to go. Here's a chance for Rue coming down. Rue looking, shoots, scores. Right through Robbie Baydoun. Rue went through the wickets, and it's a 2-1 lead for Bemidji State. Meek is there, takes a hit, but gets rid of the puck. Slapped around there by the Huskies, not out. Back to the point, Billett looking to shoot. He will! Scores! Went right through, and a heavy screen in front of Baydoun, and just like that, the Beavers are up with three straight goals now, 3-1.
I said Bowling Green. Bemidji State is what I meant. And three straight there, Coach. A couple of goals. I know Robbie probably not happy that he let those in, but there was a lot of traffic in front for one of those goals there, too.
Yeah, I think Robbie was fine in the game. He fought and he battled this game was a total team build. That third goal was a turnover, and then we didn't pick up guys correctly. Again, it was, that Friday game is a game you throw, you learn what you can learn from it. What we are learning from it is the team concept, the preparation concept, the developing a championship attitude concept. That's what we tried to drive home out of a game, the accountability concept, again, from the staff on out, from myself, personally on out. That's what we learned out of the game, and then you just throw it in the freaking trash can and get rid of it. So that was as bad or worse than the Bowling Green game last Friday. It was just the turnovers were off the charts. The systematic play was off the charts. It was just a game that you just have to wash yourself from.
Final goal for the Huskies in that game was Dylan Stamen. That made it a one-goal game again, but then Heller comes back with his second of the evening in that third period, and that Jordan Heller goal in the third at the 2:17, that was the backbreaker for us.
Yeah, it was for sure. But, one thing in that game, though, we're playing against the top goaltender, the MVP from our league last year, the Hobie Baker candidate. He's close to breaking or tying at least Ryan Miller's all-time shutout record. Ryan is obviously close to my heart.
Mm-hmm.
Ironically, Ryan broke the junior hockey shutout record when he played for me, then went and broke the NCAA record in 3 years playing for Michigan State. So obviously a tremendous competitor. But so he's big time. Now, in that game, both goals we got were range shots. And we only generated 13 scoring chances on the night. So that was similar to a lot of the games that we play. And it's hard for a goaltender to settle in. The first scoring chance that Bemidji got in the game was 9 minutes left in the first period, and they scored on it. Robbie never got a chance to really settle in, where a week ago at Bowling Green, they were out shooting us 9-3 at one point in the early going, and then we ended up taking over a bit. But they were out shooting us one time. So he was able to get in the game, settle in, and being a reflex goalie, get onto it. Well, Bitzer, I don't think, ever got settled in on Friday night, so it would have been nice if we could have got at him a little bit more and made him make some saves.
Final shots, 38-25 in favor of Bemidji State. Both teams were 0-for-3 on the power play in that game. Bitzer had 23 saves, Baydoun with 34, 4-2 of the final. The Huskies' home playoff hopes went down percentage-wise quite a bit after that loss. We'll talk a lot about game two when we come back after the break. Don't forget to get your question in for Coach Sean, DJ@themix93.com. The Joe Sean Hour continuing right after these.
This isn't going to work. No matter what we say, some people still drive drunk. But we're Budweiser. Giving a damn is what we do. So, if you think it's okay to drive drunk, if you think it's something that's debatable, or you just simply don't care, this Bud is not for you. Give a damn. Don't drive drunk. Enjoy responsibly. Budweiser Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
In sports, movement is a force to be reckoned with. Your feet fuel that force. At Northern Foot Care Center, Dr. Remingun knows how to treat athletes, getting them back in action sooner. When your feet feel good, performance increases. Games are won and records are crushed. You want answers? We have them. Technology cutting edge. Experience over 28 years. Results game changing. Pro sports teams have the best foot and ankle experts. Now you have one. Call 482-9950 or click northernfootcare.com.
Bucko's loves giving the community a great place to shop with amazing deals. So come show your party store some love back. All six packs of bottled beer is on sale. All 2 liters are 2 for $3. All High Drive and Outlaw energy drinks are only 99 cents. All 32-ounce Powerades are $1. And Kickstar energy drinks are 4 for $4. Pick some Wild Game jerky and Mackinac Island popcorn. And don't forget your Valentine's Day wine, liquor, and lottery tickets when at Bucko's on 5th Street in Calumet. All sales do not include taxes and deposits.
Tax time is here. Let the tax professionals at Lake County prepare and e-file your income tax return. The Affordable Care Act, identity theft, the earned income credit and education credits are just a few of the reasons you need the services of the tax professionals at Lake County. Lake County will ensure that you receive all of the credits and deductions that you are entitled to. Lake County is ready to relieve the stress related to tax preparation. Call 482-2370. That's 482-2370. Lake County, located 1 mile west of the Copper Country Mall, Houghton.
Are you frustrated with the rising cost of insurance or concerned you might not have the right coverage? Hi, I'm Marcia Franti of the Turvo Agency in Hancock. Whatever your situation, single, raising a family, or happily retired, we can help you put together an insurance package that both fits your budget and provides the insurance protection you need and deserve. As an independent agency that represents many insurance companies, we offer more choices, more options, more security, and more peace of mind. Put the Turvo Agency to work for you at 482-0080.
Welcome back to the Joe Schott Hour here on Mix 93 WKMJ. Let's get to Game 2. The Huskies losing 4-2 on Friday night. Need a big win, and they needed at least a three-goal margin to win the McGinnis Cup and the total goal series. And I know that was a big part of it, of, I guess, the focus going out there. Not just winning the game, but winning the McGinnis Cup.
Yeah, I even told the guys beforehand to be, we talked about how we're going to approach it if we have to pull our goaltender, if we only have a one-goal lead, or if they have to pull their goaltender if we have a one-goal lead, because I told them we're playing for this Winter Carnival Championship.
That's cool.
You know, we lost the night before. I said, so we're going for that empty net. I want that puck in that empty net if they pull their goaltender with a one-goal lead, or if they're behind by one goal, because normally you're trying to manage a clock and you're hanging on to it and trying to kill it and things like that, but we weren't playing for that. We were playing to go to try to win that trophy. Those things are important for a team. They're important to let them know that you know that you're all in for them, and it didn't come to that, but it was the focus going in, that we were going in there to give ourselves a chance to win the Winter Carnival.
And we'll go through some of the goals here, but I get choked up every time I hear or see Jerry McGinnis speaking.
Unbelievable.
I mean,
my wife said the same thing, and I feel the same way, and wonderful, and Scott and Betty as well, just that family. It's almost, it almost feels like royalty, you know, you're wiping
Absolutely.
Your eyes. It feels like royalty. Jerry is such a wonderful, elegant speaker. She has such poise, you know, or such presence. When she walks in, an atmosphere changes. Mm-hmm. And I feel the same way again about Scott and Betty. Just wonderful, wonderful people, that are always supportive. You know, they're just always supportive. They represent everything about Michigan Tech, about Houghton Hancock. They're just absolutely unbelievable. Michigan Tech hockey royalty.
Yeah, and Coach Ceratori obviously understood that too. He went over there and gave her a hug after she had spoke, which was pretty cool.
Yeah.
I thought so. Big game for the Huskies. They get on the board first for the second straight night.
14:46 remaining. Huskies going in on the forecheck now. Sent around, got through everybody, and the Beavers now will start it back up. Good steal here by Bryce. Bryce walking in, will shoot, scores. Bryce with the steal, and I think Blacklock might have tipped it in. And Michigan Tech takes a 1-0 lead for the second straight night.
I love watching that go over and over on the replays just to see how that developed and Bryce coming back and found that puck and shot it on goal.
Now, that's the difference. Yeah. That was the difference right there because it took about three rotations, a forecheck. There was constant pressure on the puck. There was constant filling in and support. There was constant anticipation as to where the outlets were and what responsibilities were. Everybody had the areas covered. And when we got the puck, everything flowed into the attack. And Mason did get a stick on that. Extremely proud of Mason. He played. Mason is getting better and better, and his contribution is getting bigger and bigger for us. So you look at, you know, you can make again the excuses of this and that, but the fact of the matter is if Mason can push it, and we're a better team if he can continue to grow down the next 3 weekends, 4 weekends, however long we play as a player, because it's giving us that depth in the middle.
Mason Blacklock with his first of the season. Raymond Bryce gets the primary, the only assist on that goal. Made it 1-0 at the 5:25 mark. The Huskies get a penalty called against them. Jordan Heller gets his third goal of the weekend. This ties it up 1-1.
Baltus all over Miller. Baltus going down, gets right back up. The Huskies trying to get possession here and get it outside of the zone. 6 seconds left in the power play. Scored! Redirected in front, and I think this time it was Heller. Number 15, his third goal of the weekend with just 2 seconds left to go in the power play. Beaudry sends it over. Miller with the shot. And redirected by Heller in front. Tied up 1-1.
I think that penalty kill, if I remember right, was a pretty darn good penalty.
Never gave
kill.
Up a shot. Never gave up anything. We had to, we did a great job, and that's our nemesis right there. A wrist shot gets through, a deflection in front. That's been a nemesis. Late, how many times has that happened with just seconds left, second or two left on a penalty kill? It happens too often. We get our stick on that. We do a little thing, and that puck doesn't end up in our net. But, on the good side of it, it didn't break us. I think the guys felt, we were engaged on Saturday night, so it was, you know, we just battled back from that.
We go to the second period. Things are all tied up. Shots in the first, by the way, 9-5 in favor of BSU. We go to the second period, and Brent Baltus, nice to have him back in the lineup.
Sent around by the Huskies. They hold it in for the moment. Nice play here for Lesperance. He'll shoot. Save made there by Bitzer. Sent down by Lesperance. Nobody there. Baltus and pulled away by Lesperance. He'll shoot again. Bitzer will save. Rebound! And they score! And that's the captain! Brent Baltus with the goal on the rebound. After a nice play by Joel Lesperance, Huskies back up 2-1 on a power play goal.
So many things going on in that play, Coach, but if I was Bitzer, I certainly would have chewed out one of my defensemen that kicked that puck away from him as he was going down to try to cover it up.
Yeah, but again, great flow. It started with Lespo on a good rush to start with, a good quick transitional play inside the zone to get the first shot. Then we hunted it down again and put pressure on the puck and didn't allow the clear. I mean, that's Bemidji's number one penalty killing unit in the league. They're nationally always up there. Every year they're always up there. Tom and his brother Frank at Air Force have it figured out. They're always in the top 10 nationally on the penalty kill. But we hunted it down and Joel got it again, a playoff. And it was actually Baltus who went in and got that puck at the half wall and got it to Joel and then kept his feet moving. Joel got it into a shooting position and shot it and Baltz found a backdoor, a soft spot where he got outside the coverage. And as you mentioned, if you never get there, if you just watch yourself and watch the first play, you know, if Baltz stays on the other side of the ice where he makes the play to Joel and just watches Joel do his work, we don't get that, but he got his feet moving, got into good hard ice. On a side note with Baltz, he was cleared to play before the game. We didn't plan on using him that much. We wanted to get him comfortable and get him eased back in. And then Jacko goes down in the first period. So now the minutes on the penalty kill, the minutes on the power play that Jacko would, you know, Jake Jackson would normally eat up and has been doing a great job with, Baltz moves in on that. And if Baltz isn't in the lineup, this game's probably a completely different game. Just like on the Friday night game, if we don't lose, Ocker in the first period, And good for the refs. Not a good call. I mean, it was not contact to the head, but they don't have the chance of reviewing that. But there's probably no one in college hockey that's tried to be more protective of his players with the contact to the head. Every week we send in video clips on that. And as you people know, But they made the call on it and tried to protect the athletes. So good for them. But that's a difference maker in the game. We gain it on Saturday night. Karma comes back for you. We gain it with putting Bolts in and losing Jack on Saturday night. We lost it on Friday night by losing a tremendous player. So it goes both ways. And you know, hockey always kind of repeats itself and takes care of the guys that take care of themselves.
When I watch that goal, what impresses me the most about it is the way the right-handed shot of Les Bruns crosses over and picks that pass up off the boards, mm-hmm. and how quickly he darts to the middle of the ice there, because if he wastes any time on fumbling with that puck or anything, that goal doesn't happen.
He attacked, and that was the focus. The focus on Saturday night was there. The guys were totally engaged. You know, I'm gonna go off a little bit here. I'll tell you something that I've shared with the guys. You're talking about accountability, and that's why myself as a coach, I take responsibility for Friday night. And it goes, I've shared this with teams over the years. I shared it with our guys. And it's an old Art of War, Attila the Hun story. And I'll go off a little bit, but I'll brief it down. The responsibility, there was an emperor back in time that wanted to, in the old Sun Tzu Art of War, there was an emperor that wanted to have the best army in the world. So he goes out and he gets Attila the Hun because he's supposed to be the best leader of armies, the best tactician, the best everything. He's the best leader of armies. So he says, I want you to lead my army. And he says, can you give me a demonstration of how you do it? So Attila the Hun says, absolutely. Give me your best concubines, which are the emperor's harem, his top, his pride and joy, what he lives for. You know what I mean? He's got the life of luxury. And he says, okay, who's the best? That woman right there is the leader. So that's the emperor's top woman. That's his most important thing to him. He says, you're to lead him. So he goes through on the commands on leading the other concubines. He goes through the commands of what to do. And he's teaching accountability. He's teaching, responsibility. So he gives them and he tells now the lead concubine, lead them, give them a command. And she gives him a command. They all giggle. Off goes her head, cut her head off. And the emperor is, no, don't do that. You want me to lead this the right way. You want me to have accountability. You can't have failure in the battlefield. Off goes her head. You told me I have whatever I can do. Off goes her head. Okay, who's the next one? Who's your next favorite? Calls her up. And now they're going to go down the list. That's the importance of it, right? So now all of a sudden they snapped in. There was accountability. There was that, you know, now it was serious. That was the difference between Friday and Saturday. And my responsibility is to make it that important and to find the way to make it that important to the group. It's as simple lesson as that. To make the group totally accountable and all knowing on their responsibilities. Friday night's game was a lack of systematic play, a lack of individual play. We had less than a third the turnovers Saturday night than we had Friday night. Our puck management was tremendous. A lot of those turnovers weren't ice areas. The majority of them were in where we were trying to make a play in deep in the offensive zone and forcing something or something like that. You know, neutral zone where the puck still advanced, but we gave it right to them that you could adjust around. So they weren't costly except for one scoring chance on a missed reverse play that we banked it too far and they came right to the front of the net with it. The difference. And that's why I take responsibility. I'm not going to duck what my job is here, and hold guys accountable all the time and not hold myself accountable. And my job is to find a way to make our guys do it the right way, all the time and it be that important to them, just like the story I just told you.
What were the scoring chances on Saturday night?
Saturday night, they were 17-13 us. Friday night, they were 19-13 them. But the beauty of it is on Saturday, they had two in the first. The one was the deflection goal. And they had three in the second, and two of them were on that play right at the buzzer.
Right at the end, yeah.
So that five. Now we had 10 in the second. We only had two in the first scored on one. We had 10 in the second when we had our three goal burst. And then in the third, they outchanced us 8-4. We had a lead and we were protecting that lead a bit and clearing the puck a lot and they were coming at us a bit. So the great thing about that game, there were a couple great things there. Devin Carroll was made the saves. You know, he let in that first goal and then after that, he made the saves that we need him to make while we got rolling. Even though there were only five scoring chances through two, you know, one of those went off the crossbar in the second period and things, but he shut the door now, and he was playing a game within a game. You have to understand that. So, even though there was a 4-1 lead going in the third, it was like a we were up by one goal in the Winter Carnival thing. So he had to stay tall and stay strong in the net and shut the door. And there wasn't a puck in the entire game that he was not on. Even the deflection, he had it tracked, and you know, it was just a quick deflection in front, but his move was going right into the puck. It just hit a shot. And game within the game. The things that I've talked about with Devin is shutting the door. And he shut the door for us in the third period. And even though it was a 5-1 game, really it was a 1-0 game going into the third period with everything on the line. You could have called it a 1-0 game for the trophy being at stake.
Let's take a listen to a couple of the other goals. Left off with Brent's power play goal. Another power play by Mark Ock.
Sends it around for Donahue on the right point. 49 seconds left on the power play. Donahue there for Lucchini. Lucchini being watched carefully there by Heller. Back to the point. A shot. Scores! Mark Ock with the goal on a one-timer. What a pretty play by Michigan Tech. It is a 3-1 Husky lead. Two goals now on the power play.
Lucchini, I thought, looked very poised with the puck on the power play, Coach. He had guys right on him. He didn't have a lot of space, but he never panicked with it. Didn't panic on that play. Dropped down to the corner and then sent it back to the
point. I like him on the left side, and he's more accurate with his shot on the left side. It's kind of odd on his strong side. He's got a more accurate release with it. He scored many goals. Remember, the goal he got last week was an incredible goal against Bowling Green from there. I mean, I don't even know how it went in. It went in far side from bad ice, from a bad angle. But he read that down, and they probably were watching that from the week before. So they collapsed on Luch, and he made a great pass over to Ocker. And Ocker's been great. Mark Ock has been absolutely tremendous for us. He in defense of him, he took such a vicious hit at Mankato. I mean, he got off to, you know, an incredible start point wise and everything for us, and took such a vicious hit, and he wouldn't. You know, we're thinking that, you know, or people, is Mark okay? Like, his play went down for several weeks, up until really Christmas when he got away and was able to give himself a rest. And, you know, that hit affected him for a long time that he took at Mankato. And now he's back to being healthy again, and he has been he's been a rock back there for us. He's putting up his points again for us. He's making great reads for us. He's not trying to do too much. He's not trying to force things. He's been absolutely phenomenal, and I'm glad that he's back feeling good.
Mark Ock gets the goal, his sixth of the season. Lucchini and Donahue get the assist on the power play, and that made it 3-1 Michigan Tech. Make it 4-1 with Gavin Gould's shot, and that came in the second period, too.
Lucchini not able to get position on that puck. Sent over now for Gavin Gould. Gould will send it for Ock. Ock at the Michigan Tech blue line. Up for L'Esperance. Pulls it over. Here's a chance in front for Gould. Shoots. Scores! Gavin Gould got behind the defense and snapped one in between the legs of Fisher. It's a 4-1 lead for Michigan Tech with 8:15 left in the period.
And actually wasn't between the legs. It was on the side, I believe. But great shot by Gavin Gould. And again, Joel L'Esperance really the driving force behind that goal.
And Mark Ock with a great play in neutral zone transition. You know, we had good balance. We had chances on the power play. We had chances off of offensive zone play. We had goals and chances off of the forecheck. We had goals and chances off of neutral zone counters. We had, again, goal and chances off the rush. So we had balance in our attack. We were getting it in a lot of different ways from a lot of different players. Again, this was a great transitional play in the neutral zone. They filled in well. It started a really good play by Ocker, gives it up to Gould, who dishes it off and gets it back. So it was a really good play.
That made it 4-1. Now, towards the end of the second period is the situation you were talking about, Coach, where they got a couple of scoring opportunities, and Devin made the great save at the end there. It sounds like the buzzer might have went off before, the horn might have went off before it actually would have gone in the net had Devin not made the circus save that he made. But it was pretty incredible nonetheless.
Here comes Bemidji Combs with a shot, deflected over the crossbar. 4 seconds left. Controlled by the Beavers to the side of the net. Save, rebound, and a big save by Devin Carroll. Robbed him at the buzzer. And the Huskies escape with a 3-goal lead going into the second intermission.
There was a good push there by Bemidji in that shift.
We let up. We let up for that. Puck went into the corner, 3 seconds left, and and we let up and drifted, and they didn't. And they got the puck into, they beat us into the good ice. They got a first shot, and then the puck popped out on the rebound, and they got a second shot. And Devin did a great job attacking that. We've talked about this many times. By far the best goalie we have on side to side. That's why we played him against Fairbanks. Fairbanks is a team that makes you move a lot. And Devin does his best work when he's moving. And on that play, he stopped the first one, rebound came out, and he had to come out and scramble, and he finds the puck when he's moving. And did a great job, and he hooded it. He didn't just come across, he shot out at the player to take away the vertical angle as well as the horizontal angle. Did a tremendous job. That was an NHL type save. And that was big. And you don't know, even looking at it, it was clear that the clock had went down to zero, before they shot the puck, but you don't know that. You know what I mean? It happens that quick.
Right.
And you certainly don't want to leave it in the hands of the officials to have to make a decision on that. And so Devin took care of business, and he did a great job.
Really nice save. So we're up 4-1, but we're only up one, really, in the total goal series going into the third period. We need a little insurance goal, and we get one from Grayson Reitmeier. Comes out of the penalty box.
Penalty almost over, but Bemidji has control of the shot. Blocked in front or saved. And Reitmeier's out of the box. They'll flip it up for Reitmeier. He holds it in. Here comes Grayson Reitmeier. He'll shoot.
Dane Burks with the great feed up the ice there. Hit him perfectly. Grayson did a good job, a great job of staying on side and hauling that puck in right at the blue line.
And again, Dirk, it was total awareness. If you watch it on video, Burksy made a great pass. He made a great sauce pass over sticks and things to get it up there to flatten it out for Grayson. Bemidji was pushing. You know, they're trying to score. They're on the power play. It's late. They're taking all the chances instead of backing a guy out, knowing the clock is winding down. And every one of our guys knew the clock was winding down. They were all pointing as soon as Burksy got that puck with time. They were all pointing up ice. Like everybody knew that Grayson was coming out of the box, and no one was going to let Burksy not know that he was coming out of the box. So, that was the engagement that we had in that game. That was the focus that we had in that game where there was total awareness from everybody again on what was going on. Just like so many times in the game when things happen, it's so often, and it's very seldom the first mistake that gets you. It's what happens off of that, and the inability to react well in transition to what happens to the mistake both ways, or to take advantage of a mistake by another team. That's where Mankato is so good. You make a mistake and they're turning right at you right away. Power play, they win a battle and they're going right to the net with it. So that was important. And so many times in the game on Saturday, our guys were right there. And that's the clips I have pulled out for them today. It's not the highlight plays. It's the little plays, throughout the game that matter, because those are the plays that lead to the bigger plays. If you're doing those all the time, you get the culture within your program that you do it all the time. Then the guys are holding each other accountable and teaching each other. Hey, listen, you know, they come to the bench and hey, on that, you know, an older guy's talking to a younger guy. On that, you got to make sure that you cover, you do this, you do that. You're getting that inner teaching. When everybody's numb on the bench as in Friday, you know, you get nothing out of it. You get no teaching, you get no growth, you get no nothing out of it. It's a setback.
Joel Esperance again leading the team, coach. 5 shots on goal and, it's just another really solid game by his play.
It was a great game by everybody. Joel's been great. Joel's been great all year. He's created scoring chances every single night all year long. He could have 40 points. He could be leading the league in scoring. He's been snake bit, and it's not been because he hasn't played well. I think this is the best overall performance, the best overall play that he's had in his career. He's been good at both sides of the puck. We're using him on penalty kill, on power play, on everything. He's playing in every situation. He's playing wing. He's playing center. We're utilizing the big man as much as we can. He's doing an absolutely great job for us. So he was good. Another difference in the game Saturday, they had 16 shots from their defense. 16 shots. So that's 16 perimeter shots trying to get the pucks to the net so they can get some traffic and things like that. So that's a good job by our team in keeping the shot. I mean, if those 16 shots are coming from grade A areas, from forwards, it's a whole different ball of wax. There were pucks that Devin was able to handle and swallow up, and he did a good job on his rebound control.
Coach, we were 2-for-3 on the power play. That's good news. 3,810 at the game on Saturday night. Can you talk a little bit about the crowd and Devin Carroll then getting the MVP after?
Yeah, how can you not? I mean, Our people are so great. They're so energized and so involved. There's a great article out on, I believe it's on, I get it sent to me by somebody, I don't know who did it, but it's on the Misfits. It's a great article about, you know, their involvement, the community. I mean, they were rose deep up top and it enlightens you. You know, it invigorates you. If you feel, you know, you feel that energy. We had a recruit in on Saturday night for the game. Just loved it. We hope that locks down, but the reason I share so much, the easiest thing to do is to come on here and just give you some canned stuff. You know, we weren't really good Friday. We'll be better. And, or you can say, you know, there's too many turnovers. I mean, people, let the people in on a, you know, let them know what we're trying to accomplish. Because they're part of it. We're not talking about, you know, national security issues here. We're talking about, you know, trying to get us all to be better from myself on out. So, I feel the people here are part of it. They're hockey educated. It'd be a lot worse if no one cared. You know what I mean? Like, I've seen that happen. I saw that when I was coaching juniors when Lake State started going down after Jeff left. I saw it get to the point where it's anger, then it turns to apathy where people just don't care, and it's hard to build that back up. Here they care. So, you know, I'll take the heat, I'll take the emails, I'll take whatever they want to give, and I'll continue to do the best I can to make our team as good as it can possibly be.
Speaking of emails, we got some questions for you, Coach, coming up right after the break. It's the Joe Schein Hour here on Mix 93.
I like my burger with mustard.
No, mustard and ketchup.
And a Coke.
Got to be well done.
Only medium rare, come on.
I only want grass-fed beef.
No, Angus.
On the grill.
Now, flat top.
You want a homemade veggie burger?
With a Coca-Cola.
Iceberg lettuce.
No way.
Avocado, dude.
Arugula. Nah, jalapeno.
Can I have a turkey burger?
But turkeys are for Thanksgiving, man.
Burger with a Coke. Brioche.
No, sesame seed.
Just a regular bun.
American cheese.
Nah, man, you gotta go with Swiss.
No, cheddar.
Gotta use both hands.
No, one hand.
And wash it down with a Coke.
My burger is best with a Coke.
Every burger needs a Coke.
Coke and a burger.
An ice cold Coke.
I'll agree to that.
A burger and a Coke.
It doesn't take a step-by-step recipe or even a plan to make a delicious meal. It doesn't take a freshly starched apron or an official foodie degree from social media. It just takes an ice-cold Coke, delicious food, and good friends. So whip up a meal, however you like. Grab some ice-cold Coke from your local supermarket and taste the feeling today.
Not everyone has $1 million, but everyone can have a $1 million smile. The smile that lights up a room, instantly puts people at ease. The smile that gives you the confidence to be you. Your smile is uniquely yours. Treasure it. Protect it. Superior Smiles, gentle quality dentistry for the entire family. With pediatric dentist Sarah Metlack, Doctors Fisher, Sarazen, Strong, and Sliss. Superior Smiles Family Dentistry in Hancock. And now in Lorium on 77 3rd Street. Call today for your appointment. 482-3621 Hancock, 337-5049 Lorium.
Steph from the Wickley Agency. From the moment she was born, I promised to love her, to protect her from all of the monsters under her bed, and to support her and all of her dreams. From the moment she was born, I promised that I would always provide for her, no matter what. That's why I bought life insurance from Auto Owners Insurance, to secure her future, no matter what. Do you have the life insurance your family needs? Give us a call at 482-1140 or stop by the Wickley Agency in Hancock.
Taco, Taco Man, you know I got to be a Taco Man. I said Taco, Taco Man, yeah.
You can be a Taco Man at Joey's Seafood and Grill in downtown Houghton with their fish tacos starting at $2.99. And in minutes, you can be a Taco, Taco Man too at Joey's Seafood and Grill, where it's easy to be a Taco Man.
Back to the Joe Schein Hour here on Mix 93. Have some questions for Coach Schein coming in. So let's get to those questions here. First questions for
let's
you.
Let's get to those questions.
First question for Coach. Coach, this was the first winter carnival for your assistant coaches, Dallas Stewart and Brooksy, Chris Brooks. What was their impression?
Yeah, they loved it. Yeah. They loved it. Just like at the GLI, you don't, even myself, and I've been at this game a long, long time, you don't realize how fun these things are until you're until you're you go through them with, you know, with Michigan Tech. Like, I'd never been part of the GLI in all my time at Lake State. The only time that I know they were in the GLI was after we were gone. It would have been probably 97 sure. or so. They got to go one time to it. So I never was a part of that. And the first time I was at that, it was absolutely crazy. But our guys, the coaches both mentioned, wow, this was fun. You know, the crowd was exciting. It was a great time. And you know something I never saw before, never even knew that they happened, was the fireworks and the parade down the hill.
Oh, yeah.
That
yeah.
got to see from the Magnuson on Saturday night. It was, wow, that was, I've never seen fireworks in the winter mm-hmm. with the hill. And things. I know the dog, when we got home, that they were launching right over our house. And when we got home, I think the dog thought that was a tremendous thunderstorm that we had. But it was a really, really great time.
Another question. Can you speak of the atmosphere that was in the locker room after Friday's loss, Coach? And if that was what led to the team we saw on Saturday night?
You know, there's a lot of pride. We have great young men. These are great young men that none of them want to fail. You know, their work ethic is always there. It's what we're trying to get across is the understanding of how to succeed. You know, one thing I did, it was late 2:30 in the morning. I started after breaking down video on Friday and still frothing. And I was looking at where our guys came from, what type of championship pedigree they had. Cause there's something to be said about learning how to win and not just being a 16-year-old on a junior team where the team won. But I liken this so much before and people don't get it. Even the championships we've won the last couple of years, so many of our guys played secondary roles on that didn't lead the way, you know what I mean? Like didn't, and there's something to be, you have to learn that, you know, and that's what I was looking at. What do we, you know, why, you know, where is this? Do our guys, you know how to win at all? Is there anything in here? So I look back, I'm looking back over that. Now, I say very little after games, very little, like, really nothing negative. I don't go in and, I mean, our job after a game is to solve it for the next night, after a loss, especially get to the video. That'll tell us what we want to know. So I don't go in and berate them. I'm up with you quickly doing the interview. You know, we'll go in and let them know what time we're meeting the next day, what time the ice is available, things like that. But there's nothing. So, it was quiet when I went in there and we talked about the next day because there were changes. It was a 5 o'clock game the next day. So we were meeting earlier and stuff like that. It was quiet, just like it was after Bowling Green. And then it was quiet Saturday. It's more what was the mood on Saturday at the meeting because, we don't beat them up. We don't beat them up at all Friday after a game. It's not the time. It's not the time to get personal. It's not the time to get, that needs to be after you really see what's going on video.
Next question, Coach, in preparation for Arizona State this weekend, now that we have seen them in Vegas, does that make it easier or harder to prepare?
Oh, obviously, we have them on video against what we do, and just like they're doing for us, you look for changes that they, you know, altered changes that they've made recently in video, and they're looking at changes that we've made recently and some things to, so it makes it easier in the overall preparation.
All right, next question, Coach. This is from another coach asking a little advice from you. Coach, how do you teach defensemen to defend a two-on-one rush situation?
We want them to stay in the middle and force the puck to the outside. We want them from inside the blue line in. We want them to stay with them both. We'd rather the shot from the outside. The question really goes in. A lot of people, some people teach, give the shooter to the goalie and you take the other guy. We don't play it that way. We want our guys to stay in the middle. And if they are going to make a pass over, it has to go through you. And the reason being is we don't want to just turn and take the weak side guy and let the guy with the puck walk in and get a straight on shot. We want to stay in the middle, force him to the outside. And, Shane Hanna was really good. He'd go and he'd surprise them often and just go take the puck from them when they had their head down. So we stay in the middle. We want to get big, low. So we want our guys to get low, big and take away the pass coming across and deny the pass coming across, but stay in the middle and don't allow lateral passes inside the blue line. That's what our goal is.
This is a little bit of an odd time to have a non-conference series for Michigan Tech. A lot of other schools have non-conference this time of year, but for us, it is a little bit different. With the playoffs right around the corner, Coach, is it better to rest some of these guys that are banged up or more important to get them on the ice if they're healthy enough to do so?
Well, right now we don't have anybody that we can, there's no, everybody's playing. Everybody that we have available to us is playing and, you know, like Jacko goes out and Baltz comes in. So, But it's, you know, I've seen it work. We won a national title at Lake State one time where it was actually one of the very rare times where we weren't playing great. After Christmas, we were still playing well, but not great. We had a guy by the name of Kurt Miller that was a big cog in our machine out with, he had a little scope on his knee, so he was out for a couple weeks. We had an off week, I believe the first week of February, and never lost again the rest of the year and won the national tournament. So, I've seen it help. I didn't have anything to do with the schedule on it, but if there was an off weekend, I'd like it to be a week ago, like last weekend, and then play two weekends getting ready going into the playoffs. So that first weekend, you're not, you know, trying to shake the rust off from an off weekend.
Well, this leads right into our next question, Coach. Do you expect, barring further injuries, to have everyone back for the WCHA tournament?
I'm not a doctor. I can't tell you that. I don't think there's, you know, we aren't going to have everybody back, but, I don't know how many guys are day to day. I don't know, you know, I'll tell you a funny story about Baltz. This is kind of funny. We're skating around last week and I'm talking to him. I said, how you feeling? He has a non-contact jersey on, so he's just starting to get back. He's getting back on the ice and doing some drills with the guys, but he's non-contact. So we're skating around before practice talking, how you feeling? And he says, you know, I'm feeling better. I don't have the anger. And now when I'm on the ice, I feel good after practice. I feel good. It's when I go home. And it's been good for the last little bit, but I was getting headaches when I'd go home. And I said, you know, and Baltz is married now. I said, welcome to marriage. I said, you know, and I said, let me give you another heads up. What's going to happen down the road when you guys have a child and your wife wants you to get up in the middle of the night and do that night feeding, you know, and then you have to get up and you're not only going to be, you know, have a headache and you're not only going to be agitated, you're going to be awful tired too. So you're going to have every concussion symptom there is. So we got a good laugh out of that. But I don't know where we're going to be with the injuries. That's we get a daily report from Brew, and he does a great job with our guys. Doc Trusok does a great job with our guys. So I just let them know. Just like with Baltz, I called Baltz in on Saturday. Said, listen, man, you know he wants to be part of it. He knows how much the loss hurts and things like that. And I said, Baltz, you don't have to play. You know, don't feel, you know, you're more important than. You know, so, but he said, I'm good to go, and he gave it to us. So that, I leave that completely up to the doctors.
Coach, you've talked about your assistant coaches, before, but there's somebody that would like you to do so again. Can you talk about the personalities of your assistant coaches in, Dallas Stewart and Chris Brooks, and maybe some of the differences that they have as far as their personalities and the way they deal with players?
Brooks is introverted. He does a great job. He's a dog worker. He works extremely hard. He's incredibly passionate about the game. He's exactly what I wanted to have in here. I wanted a coach in here with me that could coach. He's done more recruiting. I envisioned the roles being different. With Dallas being the young guy, you know, that was primarily a recruiter, and Juniors being the guy that was out, and Brooksy being here, working with the team more. But Brooksy's a hound recruiting, and he gets that scent and he chases it hard and goes after it and wants to close deals. And actually a week ago I had to, maybe 2 weeks or a week ago I had to flip them. I'd say, no, listen, Brooks, you're not going. I want Dallas going out and getting eyes on these guys and you know, where we were at, versus, you know, just to get another perspective and things. So Brooksy stayed behind and for the Bowling Green series, and Dallas left. And it helped because we got the kid in right away, and we got total agreement and consensus on the player and on a couple of players and that we want to add to the program. And, but so Brooksy's a very introverted, very detail oriented, probably a somewhat a lot like I am.
He has a great dry sense of humor.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I mean, you kind of, for me, you know, not knowing him before he came in here, it's taken me a little while to get it, but he's wonderful in that.
Yeah, he is. He's good, and he's very competitive, and you know, he's an excellent hockey coach. And then Dallas is more excitable. He's more at the moment, you know what I mean? He's gets impulsive. He's a hard worker again. He's got tremendous character, great ethic about him, great values. And he's more, he's good at the skill type stuff and that. And he's really right now, in a lot of ways, what you feel about him is he's a sponge on between a lot of the banter that Brooksy and I have back and forth to pick up, you know, inform his attitudes based on a lot of the banter that goes on with us, and then he'll interject what he thinks, and then we'll you know, banter that a bit. But right now he's kind of in some ways to the college game an apprentice. You get the feeling of an apprentice. But he does have, and I really like, he has strong opinions on players, and that's what you want. You want him to defend, and he has strong feelings on our players and on our game. And instead of just, he's not a yes man. Neither of our guys are yes men. They give our feelings, and, you know, he'll say often, "I'm sorry, but," and then it's the but, you know, okay, this guy's got to do this, or this guy's got to do that, or I really like this guy. So, a great mix. It'll be interesting in our exit meetings talking to our guys, because that's where you find out a lot in the relationships that they've built and what they feel. That's where you really learn it, because that's where you really find the value in assistant coaches. And I think, you know, with me, that's where a lot of, you know, there was a lot of good rapport from our players every place on, you know. And it's easier as an assistant because you don't hold the hammer. You know what I mean? They view you as just being there to help them. When you're the head coach, some of them view you as being there to help them. Others view you as being an obstacle. You know what I mean? Like, you're the guy that's holding me back. So,
all right. Thanks for the questions. I can answer this last one, Coach. Somebody's calling in. What would have happened if the tiebreaker, if the series was tied with goals at the end of Saturday night? It is a shootout. They decided by a shootout had we needed to go to that. But we didn't, because the Huskies outscored them by 2 goals. We'll take a break. Be back. We're going to break down the playoff situation here for the next couple of weeks and what could happen, as Michigan Tech will have to do the scoreboard watching this weekend as far as the league play with the non-conference series against Arizona State. It's all part of the Joe Schon Hour on Mix 93.
The Khalifa Cafe, Quincy Street in Hancock, has been serving great food for generations 7 days a week with homestyle service and huge portions. They have a tasty menu for everyone with all homemade food, including pasties, soups, hot and cold sandwiches, Italian cuisine, pizza, breakfast served all day, and the best coffee around. Enjoy a Sunday turkey dinner with all the fixings for only $9.95, as well as daily lunch and dinner specials. Hours at the Khalifa Cafe, 7 till 9, Monday through Saturday, and Sundays 8 till 9.
In sports, movement is a force to be reckoned with. Your feet fuel that force. At Northern Foot Care Center, Dr. Remingan knows how to treat athletes, getting them back in action sooner. When your feet feel good, performance increases. Games are won and records are crushed. You want answers? We have them. Technology cutting edge. Experience over 28 years. Results game changing. Pro sports teams have the best foot and ankle experts. Now you have one. Call 482-9950 or click northernfootcare.com.
Whether our Huskies are on the turf, the ice, or the hardwood, show your Michigan Tech home team pride by sporting Husky apparel from University Images, the campus store, or online at bookstore.mtu.edu. If souvenirs are your game, we've got you covered there too. We're sure you'll find exactly what you're looking for when you visit us in person or online. Check our campus store and University Images social media feeds for our latest store news, promotions, and operating hours. Your support goes directly back to the local and campus communities. And always, we thank you for your patronage.
Your local Carfax Advantage dealer, Cumna Automotive, across from Walmart in Houghton, has announced a huge inventory reduction sale on all their in-stock cars, trucks, vans, and SUVs. Save thousands on a broad lineup of quality, clean, pre-owned vehicles, selectively chosen, thoroughly inspected, and guaranteed for your utmost satisfaction. Stop in today and take advantage of the amazing sale prices on the cleanest pre-owned vehicles you'll find anywhere. That's the big inventory reduction sale going on now at Cumna Automotive, a family-owned automotive center on the business strip in Houghton. 482-7988 or go to CumnaAutomotive.com.
Well, the Huskies 2 points back of Bemidji State. Bemidji State right now holds the fourth and final playoff spot for the first round of the WCHA. With 2 more weeks to go, Huskies will be off this week from league play, and so they will watch Bemidji State. And I know it's a long shot, Coach, but still that glimmer of hope there down the tunnel of a home ice spot. And what's interesting is that, like you said before we went on the air here, It's either us going to Bemidji or Bemidji coming here. For the most part, there's not much other movement that could go on as far as our two teams.
Yeah, it'd take a collapse one way or another for that to happen. I think we're 10 points up on the next team with some games and, you know, I mean, some games in hand and things. But I think it's close. It's close to being locked in both ways. And with Bemidji having 2 games this weekend and chance to make up more points, it drives a pretty good nail in our coffin with only 2 games left with Northern Michigan. So, as of now, I think it's, you know, with our preparation, our focus, it'll probably be a lot of what we're doing is preparing in some ways, which is a good thing, because if you prepare for Bemidji, you're preparing for Bowling Green, you're preparing for, you know, several other teams that you're going to play because they play so similar. So that's fine. And it looks like we're going to get a couple more games with Bemidji, and I like the way they play. They're a good hockey team. They've earned where they're at. At this stage of the year, you are what your record is. There's no, you know, you are for whatever shortcomings and strengths you have, you are what you are. And you know, my focus here is still in putting together something for the long haul, putting together something with a lasting culture, lasting opportunity for us to always have a chance to be successful.
Northern Michigan and Minnesota State, this is going to be an absolute blast to watch down the last 2 weekends. 58 points for Northern Michigan, 57 points for Minnesota State going into the last 2 weekends for the top spot.
Yeah, but doesn't Mankato have 2 games in hand?
Correct.
Yeah, so Mankato has 2 games in hand on them. So, and they're, you know, they're playing, I believe, Ferris State this weekend, at home, I think is what's going on with Mankato. So, they'll have a chance to pick up some points there at home. They're a tough team at home. So, that by the time we play them, that could be, I mean, would it be a 5-point weekend? And then it's tight. Northern's done a great job. I give them a lot of credit. Their goaltending's outstanding. Their defense is good. It's actually going to be, you know, indirectly a fun thing for me because I'll get to see their senior night, which is a lot of guys that I recruited. That senior class is the last class that I recruited there, so I'll get a chance to see them on their senior night and congratulate them and wish them well, and then we have our senior night the next night with our players that I've been here with for 4 years, so it'll be a bittersweet weekend for me for sure.
Bemidji State is hosting Alaska this weekend, so the Huskies will keep an eye on that, obviously. But going back to Ferris State at Minnesota State, you know, Ferris State has a lot to play for too. Yeah. Right now, they're trying to keep their playoff hopes alive with the sweep again, 4 straight games now by Lake State, and pretty impressive what Damon Winton has done there the last couple of weekends.
Yeah, and that was done. That was over. They've done a great job. They were way out of it, and they've gotten help. Ferris, we didn't help much by giving Ferris those six points against us, but the last 2 weekends, you know, some other teams have helped them, and Lake State's winning their game, so I believe that's a 1-point differential there between those teams, and they play each other the last weekend, so that should be it's at Ferris State, but I think I think Lake State matches up well with them, so that'll be a barn burner, and we'll probably go down to the very last game of the season.
Sun Devils are in town, Coach, this weekend. This is their first trip up here. And, of course, we lost to them in the championship game at the Ice Vegas. 3-2 was the final there. They just came off of 2 overtime losses at Yale. 3-2 and 4-2 was the final there. And this is a team that works really hard, and we're going to have to play really well to beat them.
Yeah, they've got their defense. They have a few guys that have some dynamic ability on defense. They have tremendous goaltending, which keeps them in every game. We'll look at it, and I imagine Yale had a slight shot advantage anyways on them. But they have a few guys, one very good line up front, and then enough depth that play their roles well. We saw that. They beat Northern Michigan pretty well at the tournament in Vegas, and then they beat us. They got out, and in both games they jumped out to leads, 3-0 leads, and then, you know, we had to battle back. I think the final was 3-2 in our game. And Northern was battling back to some degree as well in that game. So, it'll be good hockey. We're going to see a good hockey team, coming in. And they've done a pretty good job in recruiting. There's a lot of players that seem to want to go down and play at Arizona State and live down there. So, well, it'll be a fun weekend. I'm sure we'll get all of our guys involved in this weekend. And I'm looking forward to Devin's performance on Friday night. He'll give a good job for us.
Don't forget Econo Foods Kids Day on Saturday too. All 3 games, both basketball games and the hockey game, included in that package. Those tickets will be given away on Wednesday. We'll be broadcasting live from Econo Foods. That's the Joe Schottauer. Thanks, Coach. Have a great week, and we'll talk to you this week. And see you at the games.
In sports, movement is a force to be reckoned with. Your feet fuel that force. At Northern Foot Care Center, Dr. Remingan knows how to treat athletes, getting them back in action sooner. When your feet feel good, performance increases. Games are won and records are crushed. You want answers? We have them. Technology cutting edge. Experience over 28 years. Results game changing. Pro sports teams have the best foot and ankle experts. Now you have one. Call 482-9950 or click northernfootcare.com.
Bucko's loves giving the community a great place to shop with amazing deals. So come show your party store some love back. All six packs of bottled beer is on sale. All 2 liters are 2 for $3. All High Drive and Outlaw energy drinks are only 99 cents. All 32-ounce Powerades are $1. And Kickstar energy drinks are 4 for $4. Pick some Wild Game Jerky and Mackinac Island popcorn. And don't forget your Valentine's Day wine, liquor, and lottery tickets when at Bucko's on 5th Street in Calumet. All sales do not include taxes and deposits.
Tax time is here. Let the tax professionals at Lake County prepare and e-file your income tax return. The Affordable Care Act, identity theft, the earned income credit, and education credits are just a few of the reasons you need the services of the tax professionals at Lake County. Lake County will ensure that you receive all of the credits and deductions that you are entitled to. Lake County is ready to relieve the stress related to tax preparation. Call 482-2370. That's 482-2370. Lake County, located 1 mile west of the Copper Country Mall, Houghton.